a lesson for us, a reminder for everyone. The way that orphan was rejected on that day. Had only the other women knew what they were rejecting. What honor they were rejecting. Forget about having more milk in this life. Forget about having more food in this world. But had they only knew who this boy was. And what honor they would have by feeding. Does anyone know any other name of that clan? We don't even know who the other women were of that clan. Who went and took other children. We don't even know who the other children were. But here, the only name that's remembered out of the whole clan over there is Halima Sa'diya. And the only child that's remembered is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And through him, we know his foster brothers and sisters. They didn't know what they were rejecting. If they knew what they were rejecting, they would have run to him. They would have rushed and they would have fought each other to take that child. But they thought he's an orphan, so they rejected the orphan. Don't we find ourselves rejecting that orphan again today? And rejecting his ways today? And adopting and accepting all the ways of other people and rejecting the ways of the very same orphan. If only we know what we are rejecting, we would run to the ways of this orphan. And we will make sure that we don't leave anything that comes to us through this orphan. Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this might be a reason why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he gave the example of believers following his sunnah, he gave the example with an orphan. He says, or he gave the example of a stranger. إِنَّ هَذَا الدِّينُ بَدَأَ غَرِيبًا. When this deen started, it was strange for people. وَسَيَعُودُ كَمَا بَدَأَ. And soon it will be as strange as it was in the beginning. And in Surah أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يُكَذِّبُ بِالدِّينِ. Have you ever seen a person who rejects the day of judgment? And who is that person? فَذَٰلِكَ الَّذِي يَدُعُ الْيَتِيمِ. That is a person who rejects the orphan. It doesn't mean rejecting Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this ayah, but you could see, connect, rejecting the orphan is a disease. Simply means rejecting the weaker people of the community so that we will always be with the stronger ones just because of their strength, not because they are on the right path. This is yatim. People rejecting the orphan is a disease. In those days, people used to reject orphans. And again, we are back to the jahiliyyah where orphans are rejected. And when people see deen is getting weak, people are looking down at it, so let's use some other ways. It looks like the ayah of Quran where Allah says that there are people, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ عَلَى حَرْفٍ, is just referring to this, that there are people, when they worship Allah, they are at the edge of the deen. If they get something good, they say, I'm in this deen. They don't get something good, they go on the other side. This is rejecting the orphan, rejecting the weak. Not looking for truth, looking for only our own safety. And looking for just to be in good way and good shape. And just to make a good living for ourselves. So anyway. Now, they all started envying Halima Sa'diya. That, oh, the boy she brought with him is getting her so much barakah and blessing. We wish we had taken him, but now it was too late. When they went back, Halima Sa'diya radiallahu anha says that we used to get a lot of milk from our goats and our camels, and other people, their situation was just the same. Just like as it was before we left. So they used to tell their shepherds, go and graze your cattle at the same place where Halima's cattle or where Halima's shepherd takes her goats and cattle. So they used to say, yeah, this is what we are doing. They're all grazing at the same place. So then they will be shouting at them, how come they are not having enough food and Halima's cattle are having so much food that they give so much milk? We don't know. And gradually people realized it's not what they eat. It's what they got in their home. And all the barakah and blessing is coming through that. This is why as Halima kept him for 2 years. She said, after 2 years, it was time to return him to his mother. But she went and begged her mother to keep the child with her. And mother accepted it. And Halima was able to keep Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam with her for a longer time. She experienced one thing that she says, that whenever I try to feed him from the left side, he won't take it. He would always take it only from the right side, and he would leave the left side for his sister. There was every sign and every indication, very special person coming there. After she brought him with her, she also mentioned one more thing, that he wasn't growing just like any other normal child. He was growing much faster than other children. So by the time he was 2, he was a strong boy. After she brought him, she kept him with her for some time. One day, they had a very amazing situation that took place. And that was one of the foster brothers of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Halima's sons, came back home running, saying to his parents that come, someone have killed Muhammad. So Halima and her husband, they both ran. Her husband's name was Haris. And Halima and her husband, both of them, they lived for long enough. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he received the prophethood, both of them became Muslims. And this could be one of the greatest signs of him being a true messenger of Allah, of the truthfulness of this messenger of Allah, that if the child was raised in that home and they raised him as a child and now they believe in him as a messenger of Allah, they know what they had seen from this child. Otherwise, if child claims anything, the first thing parents say, oh yes, I know. I know what you're talking about. I know all the lies that you were making, all the things that you were doing when you were a child. So parents not that easily will accept their child as a great person because they had seen a lot of things from him or her. And any time they can remind their child, yeah, you know, one day you were beating up your sister or your brother so badly. One day you came home and you lied at me. One day you came and you went and you cheated someone at the store. One day a person came and he started complaining about you. You hear a lot of these things and remember these things about our children. So for them to be Muslims and to believe in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a sign of his prophethood. So anyway, when this boy went to his parents and informed them that this is what had happened to their brother, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to his brother, they ran to see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he was standing over there and he was scared at that time. So they asked him what happened. He said, someone came. 2 people came to me. They put me down on the ground. They opened my chest. And I saw them taking something out of my chest. Now, then they closed my chest again. Later on, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, of course, informed us that was Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam who came with another angel. And Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, as he came, he put Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam down on the ground, opened his chest, took his heart out, and took something out of his heart. Now, it wasn't something physical, it's something spiritual, but Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was made to see so that he would remember something is taken out, and that was the thing that could help, I mean, anything that could help the bad thoughts or help shaitan have any effect on us, all of that was taken out, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's heart was washed with the water of Zamzam, filled with the wisdom that they brought with them from Jannah, and then they closed his heart again, his chest again. This was done to him two times. This was the first time, and the second time, preparing for another very important occasion, before Mi'raj, going to talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So again, the very same thing happened to him, and at that time happened by the Kaaba. Anyway, his parents got worried now, and they decided to take him back to his mother, because they were afraid now they might see the effect of it. Something had happened to this boy. So, and they know the boy never lies, and even the other son is saying that this is what had happened. I saw something, someone cutting him. So they took him back to his mother, Amina. Amina asked Halima that before you always insisted to keep him for longer, and now you brought him back yourself. What's the reason behind it, Amina, Halima? And Halima says, oh, you know, it's only so that now you can take care of your own son. Now I have raised him up and he grew up. He learned the language also. Now I'm not afraid that his language will get mixed up. So now you keep him. No, no. Amina says, Halima, there must be something else behind it. Otherwise, I know with all the blessing that you're getting through this boy, you would never bring him back by yourself. So Halima says, Amina kept on asking me so much that I had to tell her the whole story. So Amina asked me that, Halima, do you think that it was some jinn or some of those type of effects on my son? So she said, yes. Truly speaking, this is my fear. At that time, Amina said that with everything that you're saying, I'll tell you this, nothing of that kind can happen to my son. So Halima said, I asked her, how can you be so sure about it? She said, because the things I had seen during the period of the pregnancy, then the way he was born, clean, no normal human being can be born in that way while being washed and clean, has no najasa on him. And then by birth, at the time of birth, his leaning on the ground with his hands and raising his head to the skies, I know that he is not a normal boy and nothing of that kind can happen to him. But anyway, since you brought him back, now I will keep him and I will take care of my son. And Halima left Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This was when he was about 5 years old. She left him in Makkah and went back. Now Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started staying with his mother, Amina. Amina now, of course, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a young boy, he sees that he's missing something in his life, and that is his father. He's an orphan. So as he kept on asking his mother, Amina, decided to take him to Medina by the grave, to visit the grave of his father. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stayed at that time in Medina for some months. Inshallah, we'll continue in our next session on their journey back to Makkah Mukarramah and how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam grew up after that from the age of 6 and upward. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.
The Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم's parents, their status as far as the آخر.
The question is there anything that talks about Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم's parents and their status in the آخرة? There are different types of ahadith about it. And some people really went too far discussing about these ahadith. There are some hadiths, authentic hadiths, that say that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, I asked Allah's permission to go visit the grave of my father, and he didn't allow me to do it. In other hadiths, he says, I asked Allah's permission to seek for forgiveness for my mother, and he didn't allow me. But then there is a hadith about Hajjatul Wada that says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought them back to life for me, and they both believed in me, and then they passed away again. Although this hadith is weak, some scholars say, no, the first type of hadith, because of the strength of those hadith, they won't go to Jannah. Some others say, no, because the other hadith is about Hajjatul Wada, although it's weak, but it's talking about a virtue of someone, and in virtues weak hadith are accepted, therefore we'll say they must have achieved that virtue. But to tell you the truth, the way we see it after reading all of that, not necessary that every person that was in the days of Jahiliyyah would be thrown into the hellfire. Just like Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam witnessed about some people who died before he received the prophethood, and he said that person was seen in Jannah because he was muwahhid. He believed in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that was all they had to do in those days. Before having Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there was no way of life and no authentic book in the world that existed. So all they had to believe was in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there is nothing that tells us that his parents were not believers in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or they did shirk. So this is why the best thing is not to make any decisions about it, wallahu alam, but keeping in mind that not necessary that every person that was in those days will be thrown into the hellfire, because the only requirement from them of those days was to believe in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. With this, you add one more thing, that of course if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had selected those parents to be the parents of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so there must be something special about them, and he must have protected them from shirk and all of those type of things. This is what we expect, that they must have been protected from shirk and all of those type of things before even getting the message from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No, I haven't read anything, and in fact, I mean, I have gone through many of these books and ahadith that talk about that surgery of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam by Jibreel alayhi salam, and none of them talked about having the eyes and keeping the heart in the eyes. For some reason, I mean, wallahu alam, but I find this a lot of time, for some reason, that a lot of times when there is new inventions and research, people try to attach that to also all days by one way or other, by saying, oh, this had happened also, whereas you don't find no indication of it happening at all. So it's a way that they feel we can make it look sound better, but no, it's not the way. In fact, just talking about it, I remember once, it might be a lecture of about 45 minutes to an hour or longer. I don't remember the time, but no less than 45 minutes. And a person giving a lecture, in the lecture, throughout the time, he was talking about modern science in comparison with the hadith, and he talked about so many of these new inventions, and then at every invention he said, and there is a hadith that says this. And I'm sitting over there and listening, and I guarantee that every hadith he was mentioning, it was out of his own pocket. So I was surprised that, and people were saying, Subhanallah, Mashallah. People, they don't know it. I mean, when the child is about 2 years, he starts recognizing when people call his name, and he says, Prophet Muhammad said this. Then he narrated a hadith about it. And now, the research changed. They're saying that he recognizes even after birth, you could call the name, at least he knows. So now we will have to make some different hadith. So it happens sometimes. May Allah protect us.